Charles, when last we talked, it was before that audience at Temple Israel. It was June 10th, 2013. Today's date is February 19th, 2020. 7 years ago. Can you believe that?
Hard to believe.
It's scary, isn't it?
Yes.
How fast it goes. And now our visitors can listen on our website and also on podcasts. I had never heard a podcast 7 years ago, so we want to welcome our podcast listeners as well. As we listen back to your story, you were about to retire. So I wanted to follow up with you to see what you've been doing, get some other thoughts about what's going on in this world. And I asked you what you would miss the most, and you said preaching. And you said you wanted to channel those creative juices into something. You talked about writing a book about the history of Temple Israel. So did it turn out to be that preaching was one of the things you missed?
Yes. No question about it, John. I enjoyed the whole creative process involved in selecting topics, studying to prepare a message, and then to deliver the message. What has given me an opportunity to continue preaching on a much, much more limited schedule is that I have had the very, very good fortune of becoming a cruise rabbi. And for the past almost 7 years of retirement, Nancy and I have done three cruises each year: High Holy Days, Hanukkah, and Passover. As cruise lines employ rabbis and cantors at a deeply discounted cruise rate. Still costs a lot of money because we have to pay the transportation to get to the embarkation point and so forth. And we pay for our excursions on board, but it's still a deep discount. We couldn't afford to do this if it were not this opportunity. Nancy and I have been now to all seven continents. We have seen things that we never imagined ourselves seeing. Nancy, you may remember, taught for some 25 years at Tulsa Community College, and she taught, among other things, cultural geography. So now she's had a chance to see the places with her own eyes that she had taught about over and over again. It's been a treat for us. We have been now on 8 different cruise lines and 14 different ships.
Do they seek you out knowing that this is what you do, all these different cruise lines?
Well, my dear friends, Rabbi and Mrs. David Packman of Oklahoma City. David died last week, and just last Friday we were in Oklahoma City for the final farewell. David and Nina Packman retired years before I did, and they had become cruisers, and we learned from them. And so there's an agent who handles a variety of ships, and it's his job to secure clergy, not just Jewish clergy, but Protestant and Catholic clergy as well, to staff the cruise ships. Unfortunately, cruise ships over this last decade have been cutting back on these opportunities, so I don't know how long this is going to last.
Why would they be cutting back?
I think expenses, as cruising has become increasingly competitive, and I guess the profit margin goes down, so they're not looking to give away cabins.
What do you do on the cruise? Is that where the preaching comes in?
Yes. During the High Holy Days, and my hope always is to have a cruise long enough that it encompasses both Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, I do all of the Jewish services, and it's surprising how many people will say, "Oh, Rabbi, when we booked this cruise, we had forgotten that the holy days were going to be during this period of time." So we're glad to have an opportunity, even if briefly interrupting our cruising to worship. So I have services on Sabbath Eve and on all of the holy days. Yes, I preach as part of each of those services. Sometimes they're golden oldies, but even those golden oldies need to be revised, revamped for a different time. And that's a nice challenge. We have met people from throughout the world. I'll give you a recent example. We picked up a cruise ship in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and we went for Hanukkah to Argentina, Uruguay, and five ports in Brazil. Nancy and I had never been to Brazil before. And you never know how many people on the ship are Jewish or how many of those Jews are going to attend services. So I prepare, but I'm not sure what the congregation is going to look like. It's always announced in the daily program of the ship, first night Hanukkah candle lighting with Rabbi Sherman at such and such time and place. It was the drawing room of the ship. I get there early, of course, and there's one or two people. Slowly, the room continues to fill. There were over 40 people. I always begin by asking folks, let's take a few minutes, introduce yourself, and tell us where you're from. It's nice as you try and build a spirit of a congregation, what we call a kehillah. And listen to people introduce themselves from 10 different nations of the world, but all over the globe. There were people from South Africa, from Israel, from Turkey, from the UK, the USA, and Canada, and then from South American countries, from Chile, Argentina, Brazil. So we have 40-plus people from literally around the globe. We begin with the traditional blessings of the Hanukkah candles. And I had passed around a sheet with the words and with some songs. And people began chanting the blessings with me, and I bring a tape recording. One of the problems is that ships today don't have CD players. I have good CDs with a variety of music, so it's a challenge. At any rate, the blessings I had were with a youth choir because there were no youth on this cruise ship among my congregants, and it was nice to hear the voices of young people, and people joined in. Then I went to what we call the Hanukkah anthem, Ma'otsur, Rock of Ages. And again, I have no idea, and the people from these 10 spots on the globe all joined in the Hebrew and filled the room. Tears came to my eyes. It was just beautiful. They didn't all know the English translation, but they knew Ma'otsur and the traditional melodies. So it's a fascinating experience. We meet very interesting people, and you learn from these experiences, learn from talking with a variety of people that are interesting folks. Many of them have traveled the world repeatedly. I'm always surprised. There's a certain class of people who spend a good part of every year traveling and enriching their lives, undoubtedly. I'll give you another experience. 4 years ago, we were on a Holland America ship for Passover. I had met 2 days in advance with the culinary director, and he gave me his card, and I still remember, I said, "Your name is Kovac, K-O-V-A-C-S. He said, "That's the correct pronunciation. How'd you know that, Rabbi?" I said, "Because that's my mother of blessed memory's maiden name." He said, "No kidding." And she was born here. Her mother was from Hungary. And my mother spoke fluent Hungarian. So we hit it off and planned the Seder, the traditional Passover meal, and it was lovely. The ships go out of their way to make this experience very, very nice. All the traditional foods and whatever I need in order to conduct the Seder, which takes 2.5 hours. All they ask is that people make a reservation. There's no additional charge, but they need to know for food preparation how many people will be coming. Went beautifully. And then Passover is either 7 or 8 days long, depending upon whether you're a traditional Jew or a liberal Jew. So the idea was that for the next 7 or 8 days, people, when they went up to the Lido deck to get their breakfast, let's say, would ask for matzah. They didn't want to put the matzah out. So when Nancy and I got there for breakfast, I asked for matzah. The fellow said, of course, and he went and disappeared. Came back, took him a good 5 minutes, and said, there is no more matzah. Now, we're the first day of the Passover festival. I said, are you sure? He said, yes, I'm sure. I went to find Kovach. I said, we have a problem. Turns out his staff unknowingly put all the matzah out for the Seder the night before. Yeah. And once out, it couldn't be used again. So now the ship had no matzah. He said, don't worry, Rabbi. I have on my staff a man who used to be a baker in an Israeli bakery. We will begin baking matzah. I said, fine. And by the end of the day, there were matzah. Now, it was an interesting creation. It looked like a Pop-Tart. No matzah I had ever seen before. Only Pop-Tarts have a delicious filling. This dough did not. It was edible if you put enough butter or peanut butter or cream cheese and jelly on it. Otherwise, it left a lot to be desired. My people came to me during the course of the next 2 days. Is this really kosher for Passover? I said, I declare, yes, it's kosher for Passover, and we can eat it. Every day, Kovach and crew made fresh matzah. We got through the holiday.